From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Lessons on Sanctification, part of his series in the book of Joshua. The focus is on verses 28 through 43 of chapter 10. Having defeated the coalition of five kings, the army of Israel could have relaxed, at least for a while. Yet Joshua continued the campaign of conquest until nearly all of the cities in Canaan were subdued. From this account, Dr. Cairns is drawing an important parallel for the lives of God's people regarding the matter of sanctification, or holy living. In the course of the message, we've seen the importance of dealing with that which seems insignificant, but which may keep us back from living successfully for Christ. An important principle illustrated in the text is that Joshua pressed the battle when there seemed to be no immediate threat. God's people must not pursue sanctification only when there is a crisis. A temporary lull in the battle against sin does not mean permanent triumph. As Dr. Cairns will show, the believer must hunt down all manifestations of sin in his life. This can only be done by following Christ, for it is the sight of the Savior that is the essence of sanctification. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will resume the message. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. It may seem an easy thing to wait, but it is one of the postures which a Christian soldier learns not without years of teaching. Marching and quick marching are much easier to God's warriors than standing still. There are hours of perplexity when the most willing spirit, anxiously desirous to serve the Lord, knows not what part to take. Then what shall it do? Vex itself by despair? Fly back in cowardice, turn to the right hand in fear, or rush forward in presumption? No, but simply wait. Wait in prayer, however. Call upon God and spread the case before Him. Tell Him your difficulty and plead His promise of aid. In dilemmas between one duty and another, it is sweet to be as humble as a child and wait with simplicity of soul upon the Lord. It is sure to be well with us when we feel and know our own folly and are heartily willing to be guided by the will of God. But wait in faith. Express your unstaggering confidence in Him. For unfaithful, untrusting waiting is but an insult to the Lord. Believe that if He keep you tarrying even till midnight, yet He will come at the right time. The vision shall come and shall not tarry. Wait in quiet patience, not rebelling because you are under the affliction, but blessing your God for it. Never murmur against the second cause, as the children of Israel did against Moses. Never wish you could go back to the world again. But accept the case as it is, and put it as it stands, simply and with your whole heart, not with self-will, into the hand of your covenant God, and say, Now, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I know not what to do. I am brought to extremities. But I will wait until thou shalt cleave the floods, or drive back my foes. I will wait, if thou keep me many a day, for my heart is fixed upon thee alone, O God, and my spirit waiteth for thee, in the full conviction that thou wilt yet be my joy and my salvation, my refuge and my strong tower.
Though the pathway before you uncertain may be, trust the Lord, no
from thee. He is perfect.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Take us, the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. A different figure of speech, but exactly the same truth as we find here in Joshua 10. The little foes to holiness, the sins that we tend to overlook as being of little consequence, actually halt the progress of more Christians than do the big sins. Let's look at ourselves. I would hope that I could look at this congregation and say to you who are saved that you're not living in drunkenness, and you're not living in adultery, and you're not living in theft, and you're not living in murder and pillage and all that sort of thing. I would hope that your life is morally pure and clean, because I tell you it ought to be. I would hope that you're not filling your mind with all the filth and the pornography of the world and all the ungodly wickedness of this age. These are big things. But as you look at your life and say, well, thank God he has delivered me from those things, yet you must look again and recognize, I am not what I ought to be. I don't have the power in my life that I ought to have. I'm not enjoying Christ as I should enjoy Him. I'm not a witness for Christ as I should be. So what is wrong? It's not the adultery and the fornication and the murder and all the big things that are keeping me back. It's the smaller enemies. We tend to overlook them. When Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, he gave them a list of what he called the works of the flesh. And I want you to notice how he mingles what we call big sins right alongside with what we call little sins. But obviously to Paul they weren't little sins. Listen, the works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, that is moral uncleanness and perversion, lasciviousness, extreme lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft. Now we would all admit those are enormous sins. They're awful things. But then notice how he puts in hatred. Hatred. Is there a Christian here this morning and you're running around with a heart that's bitter? You bear that hatred toward a brother in Christ, or indeed toward another who's not a brother? Variance. How often we find among God's people that we have a saying, you know, about people being as crooked as a dog's hind leg. Ever seen the dog's leg? You'll know what I mean. They just are always at variance with somebody, spoiling for a fight. If there's a difference, they're going to find it. If there's some opportunity to be at variance with a brother, they're going to be at variance. Emulations. And of course, we're talking about people wickedly seeking to emulate. Wrath, strife. Now, we don't think of those on the same level as adultery and fornication and murder and witchcraft and idolatry. But God does. God does. He talks about seditions and heresies. We say, well, thank God we're not into seditious heresies. But then he says, envyings. And then he adds, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Notice how he doesn't put the big ones in one block and the little ones in another block. He mingles them to show us that the things we so often take to be inconsequential are not inconsequential at all. These are what we think of as little foxes, but they are spoiling the vine. They are destroying the tender fruit. There is the real reason for the lack of growth and grace, because of these so-called little foes, they remain to be conquered. We need to hunt down our sins. We need to come to the Word of God and let the Word of God search us through and through. We need to stand before our Savior, and as we gaze on Him, we need to let the light of His countenance expose to us the enemies that we have neglected pursuing. The third thing that I point out is this: that we can only pursue and hunt down our sins as we follow our Savior. Now, this is a vital lesson. Israel could only pursue her enemies as she followed Joshua. I have been at pains to point out throughout this book what Paul pointed out to the Hebrews, that Joshua is a type of Christ. His very name is the name Jesus. Israel could only pursue her enemies as she followed her Joshua. The vital part of sanctification is following Christ. We too often overlook that. It's easy to say that we should pursue after our sins, that we should hunt them down. We are called to holiness in every area of life. We should cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. We can remind ourselves, as Paul did to Timothy, that if we purge ourselves from these, then we'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified meat for the Master's use, and prepared to every good work. It's easy to isolate texts like that and say, that's what we ought to do, but how do you do it? How do you do it? Where do you get the energy to pursue your sin? Indeed, how do you get the discernment even to put your finger upon what is sin? Now, this is very, very vital. This is the difference between pursuing holiness and the freedom of the gospel and living a life of bondage. I have mentioned before that as a young Christian, in fact, I still have this list in my in a stray sheet of paper. At least I believe I do. I don't think I've thrown it out in my Young's Concordance. I remember as a young Christian getting a paper from a holiness group, and they told you how to examine your life and how to hunt out your sin. And they had this list of sins, and I diligently wrote them all out. And I was going to be praying through this list and thinking through this list. And I wondered why the heavens were as brass and my heart was like a block of ice. And I realized that's not how I'm going to find out sin. That's not how I'm going to defeat the lusts of the flesh. I need to get my eyes on Christ. He is the key to holiness. When I see Jesus, then I see the world for what it really is. When I see Him, then I see my own heart for what it really is. I can discern what is right from what is wrong in the light of the countenance of Jesus Christ. You see, following hard after Christ is the vital key to sanctification. We can only be holy as we look unto Jesus and fully follow the Lord. We have so often quoted such texts as Hebrews 12, running the race with patience, looking off unto Jesus. Running the race is sanctification. You do it looking unto Jesus. Paul says, we all with open or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is it that effects the change in the believer? What is it that produces more and more glory in the believer? It is the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is so simple, and yet it is so profound. It is so clear in Scripture, and yet it's so difficult for us to grasp and experience. Whole church movements have been built around theories of how to produce holiness. And for the vast majority of them, they miss the simple truth of pointing God's people to Jesus Christ. Sanctification, for instance, in Scripture is referred to as a crucifying of the flesh. But where does your crucifixion begin? I have been crucified with Christ. That's where it begins. And my ability to crucify the flesh arises out of my identification with Christ. And the more I see that, the more I will have the power to live in victory over sin. The essence of sanctification is a sight of Christ. And you know, when you stop to think of that, doesn't it make sense? If your heart is taken up with Christ, can it be taken up with sin? If your heart is in love with Christ, can it do anything else but hate the lusts of the flesh and the wickedness of the world? The Lord is our Creator. There is only one true psychology, and that is the psychology that God reveals in His Word. He is the Creator of body and soul, and He knows how we work. And He knows that if we have Christ in our sight, then we will hunt out sin and defeat it. You see, sanctification is not merely abstaining from certain things. That is a great folly that we have been foolish enough to fall into. That sanctification, holiness, is merely abstaining from certain things. Now, obviously, it involves abstaining from certain things. But you can say, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do the other thing, and be as carnal as the man who does. Sanctification is not merely something external. That's a weakness within us all. We want to make it something simply external, because then we're in control. As long as I don't do this and don't do this and don't do this, and I do a little bit of that, everything's fine. But it's so much more than that. Sanctification is essentially discipleship. It is following Jesus Christ, our greater Joshua.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free. at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.